Today's podcast is brought to you by the Herzog Foundation. Julie Lavender Ledoux is our guest today, and she's been called the red-pilled Mary Poppins. Well, what does that mean? It has to do with her amazing book series for young people. It's creatively helping them heal from trauma and tackle some of the biggest issues they're facing today. Because it's for kids, it's written with a lot of wit, wisdom, and wacky fun. Don't miss today's amazing program. Stay with us. This is the Moms for America podcast. Each week, leaders and everyday champions tell personal stories, share advice, and tackle the issues most important to moms. Hi, moms. I'm Debbie Krulaitis, your host, and welcome to the Moms for America podcast. So glad that you, mama, are joining us again today. Every week we get together with episodes that inspire, encourage, and educate moms in their journey through motherhood. So let's talk about today's program. Jennifer Ledoux is a successful homeschooling mom. She's now a proud grandmother as well. She's also an author, a musician, and a public speaker. Her 10-book collection titled The Amazings series is for kids ages 10 through 14. Now, in this book series, it follows a quirky family that dares to stand against the societal pressures of the gray side with the power from the realm of wonder. Well, hello, Julie. Welcome to the Moms for America podcast. We're so glad to have you.
Thank you so much for having me, Debbie.
All right. Tell us about the kids. What's your family like, real quick, before we get into the book? We'd like to meet everybody's family.
That's great. I mean, we left sort of the Normieville and started homeschooling when my kids were like sixth grade, fifth grade, and then I had a new baby, sixth grade.
So three kids.
Three kids, yeah. And so we homeschooled all the way from high school. And that made us a really extraordinary family because we did a lot of our learning in culture, in travel, outside. We moved from Southern California to Northern New England on a pre-revolutionary era farm. And
wow.
we threw everything up in the air we could to try to get to the depth of learning, and as well as to re-examine cultural icons like many establishment icons, schooling, you know, government, life, church, the whole thing. We just decided we had an opportunity to really go deep and large and think big with our kids. So that's kind of how we did it.
What an experience for your kids.
Yes. And New England is an amazing place because there are pockets of culture, art, homeschooling, government, you know, and we did at one point we did a month long American history trip where we're in Southern New Hampshire. We went to Plymouth Plantation and different locations, but we went all up and down the coast visiting the sites. And my son got his high school diploma by creating a series of videos of each location because he's a filmmaker. So he got to finish his high school work, his capstone project, you know, recording that event.
Incredible. Let's talk about why did you decide to homeschool? Because you how long ago were you homeschooling?
Well, my youngest child is 22. So
what I'm saying is it's like so many people are homeschooling. That was a little bit when maybe homeschooling wasn't as popular.
It wasn't, but I had met an extraordinary family and there was something so different about their children that I couldn't not look twice. But I didn't relate to homeschooling moms because at the time they all wore jean dresses.
So true, but not anymore.
And a jazz musician and I just could not imagine myself being excited about staying home and doing, you know, manipulatives with my kids and playing with sand. You know, I have a big vision for the world. But the cool thing was, and now there is a way for every kind of personality to take.
It sure is, huh? It's so different now.
Yeah. And so, but I had to look hard and see that what people were reproducing within typical schooling and even typical church, typical things was really not producing that much of a different kind of person for the age than the world, than the establishment was producing. So I just thought, well, you know what? I'm a creative. Why don't we see this instead of as a big burden, as a big opportunity? What could we learn together?
And so you homeschooled all your kids.
And but see, wherever I go, I know how to find resources. I know how to find people who don't, well, I'm not a scientist, but our friend Tina was educated in the Ivy Leagues, and she did a plant cloning project for my kid. with biology, top tier biology out of our renovated barn. They were plant cloning. I mean, like, these are the people that are right under your nose. These are the resources that are available to us.
That's so true. That is so true because everyone is a professional in something, whether it's, they've got some kind of technology background or they've got a passion for ministry or biblical studies or cooking or I mean, everyone has a passion. So utilizing those around you is obviously great advice.
I would start every season and go, God, I have no idea how we're going to do this. I can't compete with the laboratories, the school. I can't compete with this or that or whatever else. But here I am. And every year it would be just the piece, just the person, just the, that's Amazon. If you hear the sound, that's the backup camera on the Amazon van. But back to this point, it's just, this is life. We're in
Yeah,
real time.
this is life. Don't worry about it. I got the dogs barking in the background over here. We just keep going.
This is how you see when you homeschool, when you create, when you think out of the box, you think, I am not protecting my kid from the reality of how life works. I'm incorporating that in. So I want you to know this and that and the other thing to pull together this experience so we can be people of this age. I mean, of the age, mean of the moment, right? Of this
Yeah.
Christ. And so we had, and I'm a jazz musician, so we turned our renovated of Revolutionary era barn into a place where musicians from all over the world would come and we would have monthly concerts. And I recorded albums and did all kinds of things in
And
there.
your kids did that too, I'm
Well,
sure.
they were all in watching these
Yeah.
musicians come from all over the world to perform here. And we always had kids and families as the audience, right? From
Yeah.
the community. And so, and it what happened at our table, which, by the way, I have to tell you, the deepest trauma we experience as homeschoolers too, which is kind of leads me into the book project.
Well, that's what I want to ask you. Is this about your son?
No, it's about one of my
No.
kids. I won't disclose
Okay.
which one. There were several, and when we were kind of unpacking, I was unpacking with your assistant there. There are things that, as a homeschooling family moving to New England, with this, my farm is called Dream Farm because I dreamed so much of being free to fulfill God's purposes for all of us. And then in the middle of that, a couple of things happened. And I don't think I mentioned this to your administrator, but one of our children was sexually abused by another homeschooling child.
Oh my
17 felony counts. Okay.
Oh my gosh.
And then along the way, then of course, then you have the upset of your kids questioning what you give them, right?
Yeah.
Okay, why did you do this? Why Dream Farm, Mom? Why your thing? Why homeschooling? Why God? Why this? Why that? Right?
Right.
That
Yeah, because they do start to question things,
yes.
whether there's been trauma or not. And we do want them in life to own their own salvation, own their own ideas. We're there to teach, create, mentor, and guide.
Right, but what is really hard is when you think you understand what is happening to your children. And then you wake up and you go, how was it that under my nose in this house, an
Oh,
infiltrator came in, a very dear
horrible.
family friend, older child, sexually
Oh
abused
my God.
our child, 17 felony counts. And
Oh,
so
that
we
would be
wake up to
horrifying.
this, and
Yeah.
it's in the context of that same kitchen table where we're working through these things that now we have to go very deep into, wait a minute, we were the ones that we're protecting. We were the ones that we're watching. We
Sure.
were the ones that we're seeing. And so one of the things that's so interesting, Debbie, is I wrote these books because of the collective trauma of starting in 2020. Okay.
And didn't your son, I kind of want to get to your son too, because he, that's really, well, one, you've had trauma in your house. So now you're dealing with intense topics, incredible healing. But your son, before we get into the book, I like the fact that this was butted out of personal questions that were coming out of your household, correct?
Yes.
Tell us about that.
The very first book I wrote was called Mrs. Amazing and the Seed. I had no interest in writing. And after we had worked through some of these things with this other younger child, and we were in a stable place, number one son goes off to work and leaves home, graduates. And he comes home one day and says, "You know, I'm not sure I'm buying what you're selling anymore, Mom." And it was so destabilizing because we had been so closely knit and worked together and had really shared these values and this vision together.
Now, Julie, many parents that I've heard of, their kids go off to liberal universities and they come back a completely different, ch a changed person. Like they abandon what they've learned. So, to your point, this happens to a lot of families.
Yes, and I actually felt suicidal. It
Just
wasn't because I
heartbroken.
wanted to die. It was because I thought it was so destabilizing. I thought I knew. I thought I understood. I thought we had a relationship. I thought I understood. And all of a sudden, it's all moving like this. And in the middle of it, I see this woman's crying, and I hear the words, "Mrs. Amazing in the Seed." And I'm processing this, and I start to write about this woman. And I go, "I don't know why she's amazing, and I don't know what a seed has to do with anything." And it blew open this whole realm of going to the page and receiving creative revelation about a story that had to be told about a set of parents that risk everything to give their children the supernatural realm of wonder in a time when everyone else is colorblind and gray. They're the only people
Wow.
who can see color. They're the
Is
only.
this the first time that you've written a book? Was this the first time?
It was, and
I mean, I just want to pause for a moment on that because that's very, very interesting. Because not everybody's a writer, not everyone's an author, not everyone really follows.
I didn't think I
I don't
was
know if it,
either.
yeah, right. I don't know if I would have gotten this kind of prompting in my mind if I would have thought, hey, I'm going to write a book now that would be targeted to, preteens and early teens about this. So this was really like a new experience for you, clearly, out of what was happening in your home.
And I had no idea what was going to happen to this family, and I didn't know why the seed was going to make any difference at all in the lives of the characters, because then I began to unpack this family in the book, which does bear some resemblance to the
That's
fast.
what I wanted to ask you, was it re re it
But
resembles yours?
yeah, well, everybody has to write out of experience, but it's tricky because I wanted also to be truthful and authentic, and then but also protect my own children's responses to life circumstances, right? And it turned out to be a very, very powerful book, and I have adults in tears after they read it because they know what it's like to risk everything to give something to their children that their children don't want. And it's a healing book. And it leads in, it actually turned into an entire 10 book series.
That's amazing. So you start with the first book,
I
not
thought
knowing
I'd
where you're
say this
going.
because here's this book. And then challenge to write backwards and make everybody younger. And in the way God has me unpacking the greatest issues of our time. And now the seed story winds up making perfect sense. And it actually, I'm happy to report that the seeds planted in my son and in my children have been those incorruptible seeds that God talks about that do bear that good fruit. And so there's hope there, but I never write
So they're
easy
right.
books.
So you're saying your son, your daughter, they're all in a good place right now with mom and dad and Jesus and it all.
Very much so.
Oh, thank God.
Partially because, well, because we're very real. We sit around the table and can I just say it? I'm the porn mom. Meaning, I'll sit down and go, "Let's just talk about that. Let's just get that on the table. You're going to see it. So I want to be the first one to talk to you about it." We've had transgender people come for dinner, okay, in our house because I wanted my kids to see Jesus around our table, engaging with that issue, right? And reaching into that
And
culture.
we do have to be a part of the culture. And I think sometimes as parents, we want to avoid it, but boy, we can't because it's coming at our kids full force. Let's talk about this red-pilled Mary Poppins.
That's
Explain
it.
that to me.
Okay, so if you're struggling, who is this woman and why are you interviewing her? I was trying as the series grew and I began to write about start especially
Yeah.
starting in 2021 and the collective trauma. Okay. All of a sudden I realized, oh my gosh, I'm the red-pilled Mary Poppins. Now, do you guys remember the Matrix movie? Maybe you know, the Matrix movie was about people who are literally hooked up to machines and living a virtual life. And one guy gets an opportunity to choose. Does he want to know what's really going on? If he does, he takes the red pill. If he takes the blue pill, he goes back to sleep and he lives in a virtual reality and never has to deal with this dystopia.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of red pill talk in today's society, for
Know.
sure.
Well, if Mary Poppins, and it's funny, some people don't really know that original movie, but if Mary Poppins,
Yeah.
the red pill, she'd be writing what I'm writing about. And here's the deal. Mary Poppins is very anti-establishment. Mary Poppins is a chaos agent. Mary Poppins is a change agent. She comes in smiling, and the next thing you know, she's turning everything upside down. She's asking the kids to think, to see, to feel. She's using her spoonful of sugar to help them realize that their system's going to be shaken up because, and she goes deep into the banking system. She goes deep into the her parent into a broken family where mom's off, you know, in her political thingy and dad's off in the bank and they just want everything fine. In the meantime, these needs of these children are being unaddressed. So Mary Poppins comes in. She's a massive chaos agent. And she helps them understand on some deep level what is really going on,
Yeah,
right? And but
the
in the
awakening,
end,
yeah.
she's a healing agent. So here's what we have to talk about, you know, and whether it's the sexual abuse or the loss of a child, older going through a process, or whether it's the reality that you wake up in a dystopian world where they really are trying to kill us. I hate to tell you that. But there really is a global agenda of depopulation,
Yeah.
keeping people sick, scared, and stupid,
Yeah, you're right.
and corrupting all of our institutions, media, education, government, you know, medicine, culture around
The
us.
battle is real.
Right. So what do you do if you're me and you can write a story and you want to tell the truth? You never want dystopia, you never want gloom. You want to use your spoonful of sugar to help kids understand what's really going on because wake up, wake up, wake up, right? We
Let's talk about your vision for these books. I know you're talking about the trauma. I mean, you're would you how do you phrase this? You're talking about Mary Poppins, and there's like kind of a light side to these books, but it's covering extremely heavy topics. How do you characterize this series, and what would parents, and it's for 10 to 14?
Here's the deal. Here's the whole premise, really. When you get out of sight how I started writing, but you get back to sort of how the books unfold now. This family lives in an entirely colorblind town. Everyone's gray, thinks gray, sees gray, is gray. Everyone but this one family, the Falsam family. And this is because they interact with a supernatural realm called wonder. And because of that, they see in full color. Because of that, they're willing to be different. They think different. And they don't really want to be gray, but they don't, in the beginning of the books, they're really not sure what's going on. And it starts with their oldest daughter saying, you know, I love all your wondery things, but I'd sure like to make some friends. And she wants to go to school with all the other kids. And she has no idea that the elders of the order are now see their opportunity to get a hold of her and to get the one family that will not conform. The prescribed order operation, or the POO, is what is going on. And the more people conform to the order, they slowly lose their ability to see color. So they're totally fine with gray. And this one family's like, I don't want to be like them, but you know, we're minding our own business until the daughter goes into the school setting. And now the whole thing begins to unfold. They begin to develop the discernment about what is going on behind the scenes. Now here's the deal.
Very similar to today's world,
Right.
obviously.
And here's the deal. Here's the Mary Poppins part. They've got the wonder. They've got wonder. They have the spoonful of wonder. to help the medicine go down. Because they have, and it starts out in the series with this family not really understanding the scope of wonder. All they know is it's real. So I take people on a spiritual journey. These aren't just written for Christians. These are written for anybody who wants to start asking questions and comparing Normieville with the realities of the matrix and what is possible with supernatural intervention and partnership. So this family starts unpeeling and unpacking. And this one girl, Constance, the oldest girl in the family, has no idea that the decisions she makes about whether to be gray or whether to walk in the on the wonder side will infect the destiny of her, will affect the destiny of her entire town. So book one, we start unpacking things like she starts having experiences in book one that are
Yeah, what are some of those? What are
vividly
some of those
real.
topics?
Well, okay, so here's book one. My most important concept for book one is she gets out there and she starts realizing that other people have supernatural interactions with things, but are they the same as wonder? Just because something is viscerally real, is it true? And this is the question we ask in book one. Think of what's happening to our kids. They feel like they're in the wrong bodies. They're having spiritual encounters. They're overwhelmed by media. They have feelings that are so strong that they are defining. Book one, I begin to unpack this girl's going out there. She has wonder at home, you know, and all that, but now she's struggling in the gray and she's having experiences that are real. But I ask the question, are they true? Do you see how deep that goes? I'm having fun with this family. They're hilarious. They're funny. There's a lot of humor in my books. It's like the spoonful of sugar to help the medicine go down. Mary Poppins has chalk paintings and tea partings on the ceiling. But if you really pay attention to what she is dealing with in this family and in that culture, she's going very deep.
All right, we've got more coming up with Julie on equipping children to meet life's challenges through the power of story. Stay with us. Hi, moms. I'm excited to share some news about our new sponsor, the Herzog Foundation. We know you're passionate about raising patriots and empowering your children with the best education possible. And the Herzog Foundation shares that passion. They're dedicated to promoting liberty through education freedom and helping parents like you choose the best educational path. They offer a powerhouse of resources designed to support families and schools alike. Whether you're ready to dive in headfirst to the world of education or simply looking for more ways to empower your child's learning. From free training events to their must-read online publication, The Lion, they're committed to keeping you informed about what's happening in education. Also, if you've ever thought, moms, about starting your own Christian school or co-op, their School Box online course will give you everything you need to get started on the right foot. Again, we are so proud to partner with the Herzog Foundation, and we encourage you to explore all their amazing tools and the insights that they offer. So go ahead, visit herzogfoundation.com to learn more. You won't want to miss these incredible resources. Again, find it all out at herzogfoundation.com. All right, welcome back, moms. But before we continue with our interview with Julie, I do want to remind everyone to please like, subscribe, and share this podcast with your mom friends. This is how we get this podcast out. This is how we share important information with other moms. And again, today we're talking about an incredible book series. Also, if you have an idea or a topic for the podcast, would you please email me at podcast@momsforamerica.net? I would love to hear from you. Lastly, I do want to do this every show because I want to make sure that all of you are a part of our tribe, that you're a part of Moms for America, that you've joined the movement here. And how do you do that? Well, it's really simple. You go to momsforamerica.us and you sign up. You fill out an inquiry form. You can find out about groups that are in your area. You can find out about newsletters, our webinars, our seminars. It's moms like us uniting all across the country. We're fighting for faith, family, freedom, and the Constitution. So please join us. We're the ultimate support group for conservative moms, and we're here to help you moms on your journey through motherhood. All right, now back to the show. A lot of these topics are obviously the things that our kids are dealing in today's society.
Yes, and nobody's doing what I'm doing. Because by the time book one, I take on the establishment of education and the behind the scenes globalist characters that are pulling the strings. And I put
Okay.
that in a way to help kids understand that, right? That's a deep, deep, deep topic. We must
Which
never.
is very important because when our kids are in public school, we have to understand that it is an indoctrination camp, and they've got to be able to, if we send them there, they've got to be able to, that's another whole discussion,
Think
but
people are developing discernment.
yeah,
People are at various
critical thinking.
of becoming awakened to the reality of how much manipulation and corruption is in all
Yeah.
institutions. And so you got to give people a soft place to land as we expand that. And you
Yeah.
want to speak in story so that kids can see the metaphors. A lot. So I take on tyranny and all this stuff. By book two, I take on the corruption of science and origins. And they have a science fair at the school, and they want to use it to teach that there's really no meaning, but that everyone needs the order in order to come into line and get society going this way. Well, in book two, Constance's brother says, "That's crazy. I've been to Wonder. I saw how it all started. There's genius behind it all." And so he blows up the school science fair. And then
Nice.
I go deep into the fine-tuning of the universe ideas in book two.
Oh, creation.
Exactly. Yeah, well, the whole idea of the design and the architecture of the universe.
Yeah.
And again,
Beautiful.
I'm writing very clearly, but in metaphors, in metaphoric in some areas, so that everyone can come along and we can drop our left brain biases. Like, for example, there are great, like the Tuttle Twins and all these kinds of books that teach about economics and free markets versus communism and so forth. But that'll put you in
Yeah.
a certain space. If you use metaphor, you use art, you use music, you're getting people outside to be able to see larger symbolic concepts. What I do very intentionally to teach and help kids see, well, isn't that funny there that everyone's happy in the gray, mommy. Why would that be? Why would everyone be okay thinking there's no meaning in the universe? Well, what about that? And didn't Constance just say that? And Constance is struggling in her relationships and her friendships. Huh, mom, isn't that a lot like what I'm going through, right? And so
Yeah.
in book two, we deal with origins and the corruption of science.
Okay.
By book three, I take
Three.
on propaganda. Propaganda and the control of people through fear. So
Wow.
one, in book two, there's introduced a situation where the elders of the order behind the scenes are losing control because other people are starting to see color. You see, the Constance's family see,
Spreads.
and people who see color are not far from wonder. And the
Yeah.
what people who know wonder won't conform. So when Constance's family starts to have an effect, guess what? Just see if this reminds you of anything you've been through. In book three, the elders of the order tell everyone there's been a terrible plague that's loosed, and you
Wow.
should never see color because it could kill you.
Oh,
And
yeah.
so everyone has to wear gray glasses on their eyes at all time to
Oh, it
keep them
sounds
from
familiar.
ever
Yeah.
being exposed to a tiny bit of color because it could kill you.
Freedom. Yeah.
And so now they flood the zone with propaganda media. The
Sure,
black
they do.
hole plague could kill you. Wear your gray glasses. Keep your distance. All this kind of thing. And Constance, even though she knows wonder, she is so overwhelmed by the propaganda. Again, she
Sure.
questions everything she's taught, and she pulls away from her family. And this is what we all went through. Oh, you won't conform. You won't wear the thing. I can't be with you. You're terrible.
Right.
You're going to kill us all, right? And so I go
Sure.
deep, deep dive into
Awesome.
what is real, what is true, what are we being told? And
Because we know more of this is coming.
in book three, one of the Constance's nerdy brother, Charleston, who reads the dictionary just for fun, he starts his own newspaper because he can't stand The propaganda. Well, what could happen to people who are their own reporting sources during a tyrannous lockdown? Could that be a problem
Very
for anyone?
interesting. Yeah.
Do you see how now I'm beginning to by
Oh, I love it. I love
the
it. And then by book four, what's happening
well,
there?
book four is not out yet. You guys can get books one through three, which you have to get.
Okay, four is not out
Or
yet.
I just sent it off to the interior designer in book four. Guess what? Some they say, you know, those gray glasses aren't really keeping you safe enough. Why don't we put safety drops in everybody's eyes so they'll be permanently colorblind? And then you can be really safe, and we'll just lock you in your houses until you take our safety drops. But what if the safety drops make some kids blind? Is this not what we're living through? And then by book five, I take on the World Economic Forum, the Great Reset, and weather weaponry. All in five books, all with a family that's hilarious. And because you
It
guys,
sounds heavy.
it is, but because color is a metaphor for revelation, I insisted on high quality, full color books.
Oh, I see.
Because my kids see these illustrations and they look at this as one of our villains. Isn't she hilarious? Mrs.
Oh my gosh.
And they,
Great artwork.
yes, incredible artwork. In book one, we have these brothers that just cannot stop getting into trouble in the family because they want to do their own science experiments. I mean, they're hilarious and they're funny. And the thing of it is tyrannists are ridiculously funny. You all own nothing and you will be happy and you will eat bugs. Well, in book five, that's what the World Economic Forum tours. In book five, they have bug sandwiches in school. You know, I mean,
The thing that I love, though, about this, Julie, is that someone is always fighting for truth. Someone is always fighting for color.
yes,
Yes.
and the color is transforming people.
Yeah.
And so these really are very, very deep. But I love children's literature because then you don't have to write pages and pages and pages of, you know, narrative. You can give symbols and fun and whimsy. When I have presented these, for example, at homeschool conferences, kids will pull on their moms when I'm telling the parents. I'll pull them, "Mom, mom, mom, that's just like what we went through, mom," you know? And then they read the books and they're full of joy because, again, Mary Poppins gave everybody a tea party on the ceiling on the way to truth, right? And at the end, she had the family together flying a kite. And so one of my purposes is not only to tell the hard story, but to bring the trauma healing.
Yeah,
So,
it is all about the healing, and it's all about courage, and it's all about truth.
well, you know, there's some things you can't avoid talking to your kids about.
Yeah.
The dog just died. You don't get to like pretend it didn't happen,
Sure.
right? So there really is a globalist agenda to make us sick, scared, stupid, and unalived.
Yeah.
And because our children are walking into this,
Yeah.
we do not get to leave that conversation off the table. But most people have no idea how to do it. But I got you. I have the spoonful of wonder to help that hard story go down. And I have the supernatural awareness that we win. We
Yeah.
are made for this hour. Our children were designed for this time. And I want to give them stories that help them step up. Just like
And
with this,
stories do bring healing, don't
they
they?
do. And they bring healing in the deepest way. A PhD lady just wrote me a note and said, "You know, these books are not an option. Your books are a necessity because it is in the space of narrative and story that souls
Yeah.
are healed." And
And people put their guard down when you have a story, when you
yes,
read, because then it's not directed at you, but you relate to it.
right. And so I've written these for everybody. Anybody can read these. And as this family discovers more about wonder, people will have spiritual awakening along the way.
Amen.
Because I didn't want to write another David and Goliath story or whatever. You know, we have to have deeper ways to communicate rather than just the same old types of Christian or faith-filled literature that has been out there. And
Yeah. Well, it sounds like this is kind of revolutionary.
it really is. Honestly, no one in the whole world is doing this. No one. I'm telling the truth story of what has happened to us in the 21st century. These are essentially history books. People will look at these and pick them up,
That's really
and
interesting that you said
they're
that. Yeah.
five in the first part series, but it'll be a 10 book series in the end, all full color archive quality paper and such. But people will look at these and say, Well, she was telling them, she said exactly what happened, but
Yeah, she
without
was like
having.
documenting history.
Yes, do you know the? Do you guys remember the movie The Wizard of Oz? That was all about whether to have a silver-backed currency or a gold-backed currency. It was a very subversive story and trying to get the information. Did you realize that the fairy tales that we read as kids were actually trying to help people understand the political and darkness of the day? You know,
Yeah, I guess
and
you're right.
so
Yeah.
stories are very powerful.
I think stories are always based on real life situations. It's like you said, people write out of experience or divine revelation or both.
Right, and you have to because God partners with us in our experience.
Yeah.
But
So you've got five more, 6 through 10 is going to be coming out as well. How do we find these books?
well, there's only one way because when I first I knew they were so subversive, I'd get canceled immediately. And as people discover how deeply subversive they are to darkness, believe me, I'm a threat.
Ooh.
But a great one.
I
Great one, an awesome one because,
love it.
and you know, so you got to go to thequestforwonder.com.
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 Okay,
But
and that's where we find the books.
if you buy them, I'll give you, with each purchase, a free audiobook to go with the book you buy. So you get the audio, you get these with the 20 full color illustrations. People don't do this because it's really expensive, but. Again, you know, how could I tell kids that color is a metaphor for revelation and give them black and white books? So,
Yeah.
gorgeous archival quality books. So, you get these books, they're really deep, super intense vocabulary, like great vocabulary, like where it's explained in the context so kids don't stumble over, but it makes us all feel so smart to know, to understand how words work, right?
Oh,
And so if you
nice.
go there, you're going to be rewarded with an audio book. And I also have study guides for them.
Oh.
So that, and I did, these are the first three, but books 4 and 5, which take on the medical corruption and the fallout of these mandates and so forth. And then the World Economic Forum, except for, check this out. In book 5, the family dog has an inner life. Because each book emphasizes a different character. And
Yeah.
he's always trying to warn everybody about the wolf, the world
Oh boy.
ordering for him. And so he's.
Well, it sounds like you've covered just about everything in these books imaginable. I do want you to close, Julie, with some advice to our moms.
Sure.
You're on the other side a bit of parenting, but there's a lot of moms that are kind of in the battle right now, either young moms or teen, preteens, teens. Even high school and college. So what would you say to them about, kind of words of hope for their household?
Well, the first thing I would say is seek your wholeness as a family. Seek your personal wholeness and seek the wholeness of your children. And what I mean by that is don't hesitate to reach into the power of the Holy Spirit to heal your traumatic wounds and memories. We learned very early on how to sit at the table and give Jesus the pain.
Amen.
And receive literal healing for memories, which I'm writing another book about that. But we would sit around the table and we just insisted, as part of the culture, that we're going to be honest and real. If we had to talk about porn, if we had to talk abuse, if we had to, that we were going to be that family that sat there and figured it out together and admitted when we needed help
That's
and
right.
said, and didn't try to just do more, try harder, be better, you know, fix the world, fix everybody. You know, this same son that was kind of mad at me for a while and wanted to walk away, he said to me after he was working that through, he said, "Mom, I just want you to know, I understand now. I understand what you were trying to do."
Yeah.
And I said, because yeah, see, my mom,
Your heart was like, oof.
I had told, I said, "Son," because when at one point he said, "Why are you doing all this? Why do you make us do this? And why are you so whatever?" And I said, "Son, I'll tell you why. Because I watched my mother die with a song inside her. And I knew what that does to a woman. I knew what that does to a family. And I determined I would never do that to you. So I insisted on becoming whole. and shaking things up when was need, because I know what it's like to live in a structure that doesn't allow that and doesn't nurture that. So I will become whole, and then we'll work this through together. We'll figure
Amen.
it out. It's messy. It's sloppy. I'm a mess,
Yeah.
but I'm getting better, and we're going to be honest about it. And we're going to figure it out. And now we have enormously close family.
Oh,
Have
what
to
a
say
testimony.
that our child who experienced the abuse is now a healer of others.
Oh,
And
isn't that
our very
amazing?
intellectual overthinker firstborn son is reaching many young people who have that same bent.
Nice. Isn't that amazing what God will do with our strengths and our talents if we allow Him to? But to your point, I think they're on this journey to figure it out. And all we can do is pour into them and cover them with prayer and direct and guide them. But like you said, just give them everything that you have. And it is messy. And it can be very tough
Well,
times in
the whole
families.
idea is, it's called, I should just show you, it's called the Amazings series, not because they're so put together. The only thing that makes this family amazing is the fact that they interact with a supernatural realm called wonder, which helps them see what they have to see. And see, we have to see what we have to see. We
Yeah.
have to see the pain we brought into. I do sessions on trauma for homeschoolers. And when I ask homeschool families and others, how many of you experienced trauma? They all raise their hands, every single one of them. Because we live in this destabilizing time where trauma
Yeah.
find its way to you. And so we have solutions. And it doesn't mean 30 years of therapy. Really wonder the interaction with God's wondrous ways.
Amen.
And now we've all just experienced the loss of Charlie Kirk, right?
Yeah,
So here's the
unbelievable.
deal. We step in as these people who are amazing because we will, by that wondrous love of God, triumph and increase. And this is what I write about. And this is what I prepare children for. And so, and I'm going to launch into writing this trauma book to help explain better to kids. But my books, in and of themselves, and my life, and hopefully my heart and ministry, is all about trauma healing, so that because you can't go out and fight a battle.
What are your words of advice on trauma healing right now as we close? What would you say? You talk so much about the trauma and the healing of it. If there is trauma in someone's life right now, which of course we know happens so often and is a part of almost probably every house, what do you
Yes.
say to them?
Well, two things. One is in principle and one is practical. Okay, so in principle, the number one thing that will determine your success or failure, or the success or failure of your children, is the story we believe about ourselves. So you have to get the right narrative. You can't get the "get me out of here, the Antichrist is coming, I hate this,
I'm a victim.
I'm a victim." You got to get that the heck out of you. You have to live in a big, beautiful story. So this is one thing I do through narrative, the books. But
What was the second point now?
second one is the practical one. If you get any other book besides mine, get Praying Medic's book called Th Emotional Healing in 3 Easy Steps. You can find it on Amazon.
Praying medic.
Praying Medic is his handle. He was a guy in a,
Yeah, I've heard this.
right? He was in a an amp he's an amp he was an ambulance guy. So God taught him how to pray for his patients. And at one point, he said, "A lot of
I've
my."
got to write this down because my son just became a paramedic, and I've heard this, and I've been wanting to do this, praying a medic.
Okay, his name is Dave Hayes, but at the time he blogged as Praying Medic because he was in the medical industry, and he would share his healing stories. Like, people were getting healed on the way to the hospital, physically healed, and he's got
It's
thousands of
incredible.
stories. But one thing he found was some people weren't responsive to healing prayer because the healing was in the soul, the emotional one. So he said, "God, I don't have time to be a therapist. Give me something I can do in the ambulance on the way to the hospital to help people get emotionally healed." And gosh darn it, if you wouldn't know it, God gave him 3 simple things he could do, 3 steps he could do with people who had emotionally traumatic memories to help them get healed on the way to the hospital. And I have used that same method with people
What are they?
all over the world. So, just so you have the reference, on Amazon, look Praying Medic and go 3 easy steps to emotional healing.
Good.
I'll tell you about them if we have time. The thing of it is, do you not understand that salvation was a very simple transaction, right? I give God my sin and I get his righteousness. I give him my identity as a sinner and a fallen person, and I get this whole new identity I get to live out, right?
That's right, new
Very simple,
creation.
right? So you have this moment where you all of a sudden you give legally, you go, I repent. I'm sorry. I see differently. Here's the sin. Here's the fallenness. I ask for and I choose.
So that's the first prayer you're doing.
Yeah, I ask for and I choose
Okay.
to receive. You must choose to receive like you received Jesus. So when you're, and it's so simple, it's ridiculous. First of all, ask God what he wants to heal. Is there an emotional memory that's creating trauma and cyclical behavior in you or your family that you need to deal with? Is it based in a traumatic or hurtful memory? Ask, just ask. The first step one, and be still for a few minutes. Let him bring it up. You'll be surprised and you'll want to go, well, I'm an adult. That didn't bother me. Don't argue with the Holy Spirit. Let God simply treat you like a child and bring up something he knows he wants to heal. And then when you have that memory, you assess what is the what is the feeling in it? Is it
So
abandonment?
is this number two now?
Yeah. Is it abandonment? Is it grief? Is it anger? Is it, give it a name
Assess.
and a number, 1 to 10. How bad is it? Okay. So I don't, maybe I'll give you 4 steps because I'm longer than pragmatic. But the next thing you do is
Number three.
you say, yeah. You say, Lord, here is this abandonment. Here it is. I give it to you.
Surrender.
Take it from me now and heal the wound in my soul. Very important. Heal. Take this from me. I legally don't want it anymore. Like, I don't want my sin. Heal the wound in my soul. Okay. And then you say, I receive your healing. Receive it.
Yeah.
And then sit quietly and watch what he does. And Praying Medic does
Amen.
a little bit more teaching in his book, but it's a very short book. And I'm telling you, I have
Good.
seen
This is
this
a
book.
great resource for us. I've had other people suggest this. So
Yeah.
that was a really good close on that. But I do want to get back to your book
Thank you.
after Praying Medic. Tell us again how we get your book.
Well, you want to get
That was a
the
great
first.
wrap up on that trauma because that is really, if we don't have healing, we don't have a future.
Right. That's why I'm going to write. I'm going to take it. Dave is a friend of mine, and I'm going to hopefully collaborate with him on a book that parents can read to their kids
Oh,
to
that's
work through
great.
this, right? But you want to, if you do the Amazing Series, please just get the 3 books because I lay the groundwork in book one, Constance and Thou for Wonder. Then Constance and Chance, her crazy brother, and the big
Nice.
backlash. And because now we're dealing with origins and purpose and meaning and laying foundations for critical thinking. And then book three, Constance and her nerdy brother Charleston and the bombastic baffle gab. That's a dictionary. He understands how words are manipulated. You need them all. And then you're going to want books 4, 5, and 6, which are coming.
Wow.
You have to
And
click
what's your website again?
the, ready? The Quest for Wonder.
Okay.
And if
The
you
quest for
from me,
wonder.
you get them from me. These are coffee, practically coffee table books, super high quality. Plus, you're going to get those free audio books to go with them, and you can get study guides if you want.
Sounds like a great deal, Julie. You have been amazing.
Well, just sloppy, messy, but determined. We're going to get whole. We're getting
That's
whole.
it.
And you know
Yeah,
what?
what a great message for today's young people.
My new favorite little thingy is. Face your demons, or they'll raise your kids. Wind up raising your kids. So part
Wow.
of that
Well,
is
thank you.
you don't. We just want it to be better because we don't
Yeah,
want to
we
go through
sure do.
years of therapy, and we just want to make our kids okay. You need to live out of God's story. I'm going to help you with that in these books. I've got you having those deep conversation with your kids about what's really going on. That'll help you with the narrative. And then you really, really want to learn how on a daily basis to give God your pain, ask for the healing of your wounds, and receive it.
Amen. All right, Julie, thank you so much. Our moms are going to take advantage of this new book series and get that in their into their library so their kids can have some incredible reading this year. So God bless you and what you're doing, and thank you for being a voice of hope
Thank
with humor and just an interesting way of dealing with heavy, heavy topics with a really cool family. Amazing. So God bless you.
you.
All right. Thanks again, Julie, for joining us today. Sounds just amazing. All right, moms, thank you too for joining us on today's program. For more information on Moms for America and all of our resources for you, I do remind you one last time to go to momsforamerica.us, sign up for our newsletter. You'll get our podcast every week. You'll get our blog. You'll also get any updates that are happening in your area. And again, check out our resources that helps moms on their journey through motherhood. We're here to support you, moms, from parental rights to public policy, from the kitchen table to Congress. We have it all at Moms for America. Please check us out. And as always, I will see you next week. And let's keep changing our country, right? One home at a time. God bless. A special thank you to our sponsor, the Herzog Foundation. The views and opinions expressed in this program are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the views or positions of the Herzog Foundation.